And this evening, we're going to read 1 Kings chapter 18. We're going to read the first 16 verses of 1 Kings chapter 18. Listen to God's word. Now it happened after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, "Go, show yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the face of the earth." So Elijah went to show himself to Ahab. Now the famine was severe in Samaria. Ahab called Obadiah, who was over the household. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. For when Jezebel destroyed the prophets of the Lord, Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50s in a cave and provided them with bread and water. Then Ahab said to Obadiah, "Go through the land to all the springs of water and to all the valleys. Perhaps we will find grass and keep the horses and the mules alive and not have to kill some of the cattle." So they divided the land between them to survey it. Ahab went one way by himself, and Obadiah went another way by himself. Now as Obadiah was on his way, behold, Elijah met him, and he recognized him and fell on his face and said, "Is this you, Elijah, my master?" He said to him, "It is I. Go, say to your master, 'Behold, Elijah is here.'" He said, "What sin have I committed that you are giving your servant into the hand of Ahab to put him to death, to put me to death? As the Lord your God lives, there is no nation or kingdom where my master has not sent to search for you. And when they said, 'He is not here,' he made the kingdom or nation swear that they could not find you. And now you are saying, 'Go, say to your master, behold, Elijah is here.' It will come about when I leave you that the Spirit of the Lord will carry you where I do not know. So when I come and tell Ahab, and he cannot find you, he will kill me. Although I, your servant, have feared the Lord from my youth. Has it not been told to my master what I did when Jezebel killed the prophets of the Lord, that I hid 100 prophets of the Lord by 50s in a cave and provided them with bread and water? And now you are saying, 'Go, say to your master, behold, Elijah is here. He will then kill me.'" Elijah said, "As the Lord of hosts lives, before whom I stand, I will surely show myself to him today." So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. When it comes down to it, the Bible's message is very plain. And that very plain message is often put in very simple ways. For example, the Bible employs images like two paths, two houses built on two different foundations, two masters. And the imagery behind it all is very plain. The one path leads to destruction. The one house will fall when the wind comes, and the one master will lead you into bondage. Whereas the other path leads to life. The other house is built on a rock and will withstand the elements. And the master, this master's yoke, is easy, and his burden is light. It's all very simple. And you are either on the path leading to destruction, or you are not. You either dwell in the house built upon sand, or you don't. It's like Jesus says, you cannot serve two masters. You will love the one and hate the other, but you cannot serve them both. But the problem is, sometimes we waver between two poles, two masters. We're going to see that wavering between two opinions, as Elijah puts it, to the rest of Israel. But this evening, we're going to see it in something of a smaller way. This evening, we're going to not just look at a story that has a redemptive program, but we're going to look at a story that holds a challenge for each one of us, as it held a challenge for Obadiah. So, with that in mind, the first thing I want to do this evening as we look at this story is I want, number one, to notice that the obedience of Elijah sets the parameters of the story. The obedience of Elijah sets the parameters of the story. I want you to think about it like this. Chapter 18 puts us on a road to a showdown. We're heading toward a confrontation between Elijah and the prophets of Baal. And so in verse 1, we find that the word of the Lord came to Elijah saying, "Go, show yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the face of the earth." And then notice verse 2, very clear, Elijah went. Elijah went to show himself to Ahab. Elijah is unflinching in his obedience. Go, he goes. Furthermore, I want you to let your eye fall down. Let it travel down to verse 15. And there we find Elijah saying something like this. "As the Lord of hosts lives." Now he's saying this to Obadiah, I understand that. But he says, "As the Lord of hosts lives, before whom I stand, I will surely show myself to him," that is, Ahab, "today." Again, the point is absolutely clear. Elijah has been told by the Lord, "Go show yourself to Ahab," and he's going to do it. Elijah is very obedient. He went to Ahab 3 years prior to this, and he declared that there would be no rain, and then the Lord hid the prophet away, first by the brook of Kereth, and then in the widow's house at Zarephath. But now on this day, the Lord told Elijah to go, and he goes. Have you ever noticed? I don't think I ever noticed this until I was until now preaching through this particular book. This is an active book. The prophet Elijah is an active prophet. It goes beyond chapter 18. In fact, there's something interesting that happens in chapter 18. Then it comes back around in chapter 19. But I want you to just let your eye travel through the text for a minute with me. In chapter 17, verses 2 and 3, the word of the Lord came to the prophet saying, what? Go. And then in verse 8, the word of the Lord came to him saying, what? Arise, go. And then verse 13, upon coming to the widow at Zarephath, Elijah commands her to do what? Go. And now here, the word of the Lord came to Elijah and it instructs him to go. Now, it's not just the word go that's interesting here. It's the obedience that follows that word. You see, up to this point, ever since Elijah has been introduced into the story, whenever the Lord has said go or the Lord's prophet has said go, people go. Now this leads to our second point. There's an interruption in the action, if you will. I want you to notice something interesting. Immediately after the word of the Lord came to Elijah and he went, we're brought to verse 3. And in verse 3, we're introduced to Obadiah. Obadiah is the house manager of Ahab. Ahab is a wicked king. We'll say more about him when he comes into the story in more prominence. But Obadiah is his house manager. And then in the last part of verse 3 and into verse 4, the narrator tells us something about this man. This is a parenthetical statement. It's something the narrator inserts. What does he tell us? Well, he tells us that Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. For when Jezebel destroyed the prophets of the Lord, Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50s in a cave and provided them with bread and water. Now, if you will let your eye travel down the page to the last part of verse 12 and into verse 13, we find Obadiah saying something about himself that's very similar to what we read in verses 3 and 4. "I, your servant, have feared the Lord from my youth. Has it not been told to my master what I did when Jezebel killed the prophets of the Lord? That I hid 100 prophets of the Lord by 50s in a cave and provided them with bread and water." And then immediately after this, what do we find? We find verse 15, we find Elijah affirming that he will go and show himself to Ahab. Now, I want you to think about this for a minute. Verses 1 and 2 and verses 15 and 16 could easily relate the story. Elijah was told by the Lord, "Go, show yourself to Ahab." And Elijah went. Verse Verses 15 and 16 really reaffirm the same thing that we've already seen. Elijah has determined to show himself to Ahab. Why is Obadiah introduced into the story? We might say, well, he's the means by which Elijah finds Ahab. Didn't you read the story, Pastor? Okay. But is that all? I mean, think about it. Papyrus, animal skin, these were expensive. You know, I was just writing the Psalms down on a piece of scratch paper, and that piece of scratch paper was the sermon note sheet from this morning. And as I was writing the Psalms down on it, I was thinking, this is a waste of a half sheet of paper, you know. This could be, what am I doing? I should have found a smaller piece of paper. But that's that kind of mindset is in a time when there's an abundance of paper. This was at a time when papyrus was, or animal skins, were not in abundance. Scarce commodity. So why include the narrator's comment again, this time only from the lips of Obadiah? Why include it? After all, I want you to think about it. Historians are always making choices about what to leave in and what to leave out of a story. I mean, think about it this way. In the 3 years of drought, we have a total of three stories from Elijah. All of them are in chapter 17. Spirit led the writer of Kings to include these stories. So why this particular account? Why this story of Obadiah? Well, I think it's here for a reason. And I think it's roped off with verses 3 and 4 and 12 and 13 to make a point. The question is, what's the point? And that leads to my third point. Obadiah, wavering between two masters. Now, from verse 5 to almost the end of verse 12, we have two incidents. This is what we have between the statements about Obadiah. We have two incidents. The first incident is between Ahab and Obadiah, between the king and his house manager. Ahab tells his house manager, go through the land and look for water and grass for the animals so that we can try to preserve some of the cattle. And in verse 6, we're told that Obadiah went. Ahab says, go, Obadiah went. However, in verse 8, Obadiah meets up with Elijah, and it appears to be a very warm greeting. Obadiah says, is this you, Elijah, my master? Now, Elijah simply says to him in verse 8, go, or he says, it is I, go, say to your master, behold, Elijah is here. Now, I've already pointed out that go is a really important word, not just in this particular section, but in from the very beginning of the Elijah story. It's a word that has been repeated over and over, either by God or the prophet. But here, it's used by Ahab and then by Elijah. Both tell Obadiah, go. Go and do something. Obadiah heeds Ahab, but he resists heeding Elijah. Remember what he says to him. What sin have I committed that you are giving your servant into the hand of Ahab to put me to death? As the Lord, your God, lives, there is no nation or kingdom where my master has not sent to search for you. And when they said, he is not here, he made the kingdom or nation swear that they could not find you. And now you are saying, go, say to your master, behold, Elijah is here. It will come about that when I leave, that the Spirit of the Lord will carry you where I do not know. So when I come and tell Ahab, and he cannot find you, he will kill me. Clearly, Obadiah would rather not go and tell Ahab that he's found Elijah. But here's the interesting thing. Not for anything having to do with the prophet's safety, but for his own. Which is a striking turn of events considering the claim that's made of this man. He's the man who hid 100 prophets, 50 in each cave. There's something else I want you to notice, something that gets to the heart of the matter. When Obadiah sees Elijah, he calls him master. Is it you, master? Elijah says, it is I. But then he says this, go and tell your master, meaning Ahab, go and tell your master I'm here. And then in verse 10, Obadiah calls Ahab his master. Obadiah calls Ahab his master. Now, the point is not that Obadiah is in Ahab's house as his house manager. That's not the point. You know, Paul says, greet those in Caesar's house, you know, that sort of thing. That's not the point. The point is in Obadiah's claim that Elijah is his master and Ahab is his master, coupled with Obadiah's unwillingness to obey Elijah, we have something of a dilemma for Obadiah. Why? Well, Obadiah is obviously a professing believer. He's even acted on his faith. But the issue is before him. The issue is, who is Obadiah's master? That's the question that this man needs to answer, and he must do it decidedly. But you know what? The issue is even sharper than this. The issue here can be more sharply defined. It's in the text. What do I mean? I want you to look at verse 11 and verse 14. We find Obadiah twice restating Elijah's command. And now you are saying, go say to your master, behold, Elijah is here. And after each of these statements, what does Obadiah say? He says, he, Ahab, will kill me. And yet notice what appears between both of these statements. It is his affirmation of fearing the Lord and his attempt to hide the prophets. What's the point? The point is, he is being asked to enter the arena in a way that he's never been asked to enter it before. And he may be killed. There were no guarantees. And the issue was, he needed to decide who it was that he was going to serve. Would it be Ahab, or would it be God through his prophet's command? Now, that's the question that we need to ask ourselves, isn't it? It's a question that we daily need to ask ourselves. You know what I think is so interesting about this particular story is it mirrors something of the story that we saw earlier with the widow at Zarephath. The widow at Zarephath, remember, when she encounters Elijah, and Elijah says to her, what are you doing? And she says, I'm picking up sticks for my last meal. I'm about to go bake bread, and then I'm going to die with my son. And he says to her, oh, take those last ingredients you have and bake me a cake of bread first, and then you can bake a cake of bread for yourself. Well, she's just told him there's not enough for a third wheel. But she immediately goes, at least that's the way the text presents it, she immediately goes and she bakes him a piece of bread first. And then they live happily in abundance. And we have this story of Obadiah. He feared the Lord greatly. He hid the 100 prophets, 50 in each cave, fed them during the time of famine. Wonderful statements. And then the woman at Zarephath loses her son. She says, what do you have to do with me, and what do I have to do with you? In other words, remember that was shorthand for get out. Have you come here to remind me of my sins? Go. And you know, you remember what Elijah does. He takes the boy, he doesn't say anything, doesn't explain, just takes the boy, takes him up to his room, and there happens a resurrection. There was a crisis. There was a decision that needed to be made. The prophet has said, give me your son. Will you give him your son? And now, Here's poor Obadiah, Ahab's manager. And Elijah is saying to him, go and tell Ahab I'm here. What? You can't be serious. And like the woman at Zarephath, Obadiah responds in faith. You see the point? The point is that this choosing to follow the Lord needs to be a choice that's made every day and every moment. It's not just a one-time thing that we rest in. It's a daily choosing to serve the Lord and make Him my God. And that's, I think, the great impress of this story. It's again a story very much like Joshua. It asks us, today, whom will you serve? Today, whom will you serve? And that's a question for you, and it's a question for me. And may it be that we are making, although sometimes not halting in our decision making, like the woman at Zarephath and Obadiah, may it be that we are making the decision to follow the Lord every day. Father in heaven, we thank you and we certainly praise you because you are God. And you've called us to yourself. As you called the woman at Zarephath, you call Obadiah, you call us to follow you. Help us to do that day by day, moment by moment. Help us to give ourselves to you. And Father, help us, giving us that full confidence that you give to each one of us, because you call us to do that in Jesus Christ our Lord. Make us mindful of the one in whom we stand, that we might follow you day by day. For we pray these things in his name. Amen.